secret.
Praise the Lord and good morning. This is Prophetess Angela A. Billings
the founder and president of Women of Royal Destiny International. I welcome you to The Secret Place. What a wonderful intro. What a wonderful song. And I speak blessings over all of those that will listen in on today. I speak a special blessing and just speak traveling mercies and grace upon our co-host and her sister, LaWanna and LaDonna. Yes, they are twins, and they're on the road this morning and getting a little bit closer to me, so I'm feeling really good about that. And I just speak a blessing over their lives and safe travels, along with the rest of us here on Wake Up to Royalty. Well, just a couple of little things, and then we're going to have prayer, and we're going to go right into our teaching for today, which is entitled, Peekaboo, I See You. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that childhood game, and probably many of us even do that today with our children, with babies, we say that. But we're going to dig a little bit into that and look at the reality of God's power at such a young age. But before we go into our teaching today, I would just like to give a couple of announcements. We have our annual summit, Women of Royal Destiny International. Our annual summit will be in April 13th through the 15th. And you can see the information on my Facebook page under Angela A. Davis Billings, Prophet to the Nations. Or I have a new page, Prophetess Angela A. Billings. You can find me there. Or you can find out our information on our group page, which is Women of Royal Destiny International. We also have a website, which is wordinternational.weebly, that's weebly.com. Okay, so enough of the announcements. I'm looking for just the Lord to really impart his wisdom, his knowledge into us today. And we realize that the Bible declares, and it's just so true, if you lack wisdom, if any of us lack wisdom, we are to ask of God. And so we walk in God's divine wisdom according to his word today. And like I said, we're going to have prayer. If there are prayer requests, you may call in with your prayer requests or inbox me your prayer requests, even ahead of time, ahead of schedule, ahead of our broadcast, and we will definitely pray with you and for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just declare your works in the earth, O God, that we will be not only hearers of your word, but we will be doers also. Father, I lift up every person that is in need of salvation today. Those that have not even understood that Jesus came to save the lost. He came just for them. Father, I ask you to send the believers to their door all over the world. Let us not pass them by, O God. Let us not pass by one person without asking the question, do you know Jesus in the pardon of your sins? Help us to realize that we have the greatest opportunity that we could ever have is to share the good news with our fellow man. Lord, lead us to that one today throughout our lives, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I lift up every caller. I lift up every person that hears this word on today, O God, that clicks on that button today, O God, maybe later on this week, even next month, that it will be fresh rain of that revelation to their ears, O God, that you will minister to them. And I speak to the ones that are broken, the ones that have no idea where they're going to next, their next meal, their next job. What am I going to do, O God, without finances? Father, I speak to them today. And I say it's all in you, O God, that we trust and we believe in your word, O God, that you will give us the desires of our heart. You will take care of our needs. For everything is in you, O Lord. We trust you with everything, O God. Father, I ask today, O God, that you would bring light to your word, that we will not only hear it, but we will have revelation. We will understand your word. We will have understanding with clarity, O God, and with purpose for our lives today. We plead the blood of Jesus over us today, over everyone that hears, O God, your word and are willing to do your word. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, the blood of Jesus in our homes, on our jobs. Father, we thank you for your blood. For we realize without the shedding of your blood, there are no remission of sins. And so, Father, we turn from every sin, every wickedness, every transgression. Father, we turn. We stand completely converted from our old ways, O God. And we walk in the newness of life in you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Praise the Lord. I just declare that today you will receive a blessing from the Father. Peekaboo, I see you. Let's talk about that really quickly. You know, that was a little game, and that is a game that people still play today with their children. And that's probably one of the first games a mother plays with her child as her child is on her lap. And she covers her eyes, and she opens them and says, "Peekaboo, I see you." And the child just giggles, giggles, giggles. I don't really know the origin of that, and I guess later on maybe I'll go and dig up that origin and share that with you. But I thought about Miriam before she became a prophetess. When she was a little girl, she played peekaboo with her brother Moses when he was just a little boy. He was just a little baby himself. And I want to share today about destiny. I want to share with us how we have to follow and we should follow our destiny and never take our eyes off of our destiny. So we're talking about two things. We're talking about walking with destiny and following destiny. Let's go to the book of Exodus. And we're going to look at chapter 2 with a few verses here. And it reads thus, Exodus chapter 2, starting at the first verse. "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." Let's stop right there. We see a lot of things that's happening here. But in the previous chapter, it's talking about what was going on with the Hebrew children. Pharaoh had decreed to kill all of them, kill all of the children, especially the male children. The male children he wanted to be done with because the armies of the Lord were in great number. Because God had blessed the women and men of God, and they multiplied because of the blessing of the Lord upon their life. So they multiplied and they waxed great. And so there was this great, huge army of God's people, and Pharaoh was very sore about that. He said, "One way I can get rid of them is to have all the male children killed. We'll save the girls. But we need to kill all of the male children." So there was a vicious decree made against the people of God. But we realize today that no matter what evil tries to come against God's people, God will turn it around and work it for our good. He will turn everything around, and his will shall be done on the earth. And so we can stand on God's word today and say, God, your will is done in the earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father. And let's look at the first book of Exodus, and let's read that. And in that 15th verse, and the king of Egypt, let me go up just above there. Verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter in hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shara, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Okay, let's look right there. What is our destiny? What is the destiny right here? Is the destiny to listen to those that are not of God, that have come against our lives, the enemy of God? That is not our destiny to listen. We must take a stand in our lives to obey God. And him only will we serve. This was a time of destiny right here for these two Hebrew women. What are they going to do? Are they going to listen because they're enslaved right now? No matter what we go through in our life, no matter what trials come, what befalls us, who are we going to serve? Are we yet going to have the fear of God in our lives? Are we yet going to obey God, no matter what is happening? They chose to obey God. They remembered the commandments of God, and they chose to walk and follow their destiny. Let's look at verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Praise the name of the Lord. They did not listen. Every male child they saved alive. Will you follow your destiny all the way? Whatever God has already commanded in his word, will we follow it? Will we obey his word? Will we listen to the voice of the Lord in our lives? Or will we serve another? Peekaboo, I see you. Glory to God. Verse 19, and the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. God gave them favor because of what they did. They went to Pharaoh, and they said, you know, the Hebrew women, they're not as the Egyptian women. See, we're not like other women. Women of God, we should be different. So they're saying to Pharaoh, oh, they're not like the Egyptian women. They bear many. They bear so quickly. I mean, before we can come in there, the child is there. And so they're saying, they come in to them. I mean, as soon as they get there, they're there. Therefore, God dealt with the well with the midwives and the people. They multiplied. That was their reward. They received such a great reward for being obedient. Do you want to walk in obedience today? If you do, and if we've made up in our mind that we're going to obey God no matter what befalls us, no matter what is spoken of us, we're walking in the fear of God and we're going to obey God, then we do that. We walk in our destiny and we fulfill our destiny. These two Hebrew midwives, they were destined for this time. They were destined to be midwives. They were destined to stand there and for Pharaoh to see them, the king of Egypt, to see them and go to them. God destined that. He purposed that to happen. Thank God. We bless the name of the Lord for them being chosen. So it came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses. Okay, listen to the benefits here of following after your destiny. Not only were they fruitful, the people were fruitful. They multiplied and waxed mighty because of the midwives. Now, there's another blessing here. God made them houses. Isn't that wonderful? God will take care of his people. I come against the enemy's words that he comes and attacks the people of God saying, you'll always be in the place you are. You won't receive better. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. We see right here in Exodus, God will bless. He will bless our lives to be enriched with the things that we need. Yes, he will give you houses. Yes, he will give us land. Yes, we will multiply. Yes, the blessings of the Lord will overtake us. His promises are yea and amen. He will not withhold any good thing from his children. And so we have to continue to say that out of our mouths, speak it into existence, stand in assurance that God will do exactly what he said he is going to do for us. The last verse of chapter 1, verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Second place of destiny right here. See, when the enemy tries to come against us like a flood, a spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Okay, the enemy says one thing, cast them into the river. Because see, the midwives, they're not killing the children. Oh, it's too many. Oh, they're coming so quick. We can't. I mean, as soon as we walk in, the baby's there. We don't have time. Okay, well, cast them in the river now. Now we want them in the river. Well, there's destiny again. Because now, Jochebed, Moses' mother, she hid him for a few months. But now, she's going to release him to the river. But he shall be protected. He's going to be protected with an ark of bulrushes made with slime and pitch. No leaks. Another place where we see an ark. God's divine covenant, his divine protection around us and for us. He is going to protect us. He is going to shield us from hurt, harm, everything. If we walk in our destiny, if we continue to walk in the fear of God and obey him, he will take care of the rest. Just have to take just one quick second. I have this little sinus annoyance going on. So excuse me for just one quick second. Okay, praise God. So we see here there's another moment of destiny where the Lord is watching over his children. So we see Moses' mother, Jochebed, she has the opportunity to shield and protect her child. And she does. She saw him, that he was a goodly child. and she hid him for 3 months. Goodly here in representation of you're called. This child is chosen by God. I must hide this child. I must hide destiny. There comes a time in our lives when we walk in destiny, but we are guarded. We're guarding destiny. And others might not see the destiny before them. They might not see us moving and walking in that destiny into full manifestation of it. But we have destiny. We have it in our heart. We have it in our mind. We have it in our spirit. And we know there's going to come a time where destiny must be released. Destiny must start walking. And destiny must come to fruition. So she hid destiny. Let's say that. She hid Moses. She hid destiny. He has such a greatness, a great work to come forth out of his life. But right then, he had to be hidden. Bless the name of the Lord. I pray that that blesses you right there. Because there are so many of us that have such a great work to do in God. God has chosen us. He's destined us for a great work. But we're not moving in it right now. I want to encourage you right there that even though you're not moving in it, you have it. Keep destiny hidden until God says to let it go, until God says let it be revealed. Because destiny has processes that it must go through before we actually are walking in the full manifestation of destiny and it starts speaking. So we're hidden, then destiny begins to walk, and then destiny begins to move, and then it's revealed. So we're going to look at that. Peekaboo, I see you. Why do I keep referring to that topic? Peekaboo, I see you. Not that I see you, but that destiny is seen. Prophetess Miriam, she wasn't a prophetess just yet, but that was her destiny, amen? She was a young little girl, just being obedient to her mother. Let's look at that here. We're going to go back to Exodus chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 4. Exodus chapter 2, verse 4. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Okay. Here is Prophetess Miriam in the making. She's watching. She stood afar off, but she's not going anywhere. She's going to stay right there and see what is going to happen to destiny. Destiny, watching destiny. Isn't that awesome? She had such a great work. Later on, she's going to sing a notable song. Still today, it's sung in the liturgy of many churches, and the Jewish people still sing it today, but it wasn't happening right then. That's powerful. That is very powerful, because destiny was watching destiny. Destiny wants to see what's happening to destiny. They were a part of each other's lives. I don't believe that she just started watching over him. She was the older sister. And we know how it is to be those of us that have siblings younger than we are, or even those that have a sibling older than them, how they watched after you, how you were taught to watch after the baby. It's something when the baby is in the house, everybody's on deck stops to watch out for the baby. I remember receiving instructions from my mother when the baby of the family, we had a new baby now, and my younger sister at the time that was the baby became the knee baby. I don't hear that anymore. We don't hear people talking like that anymore. But my sister Crystal, hi Chris, she became the knee baby. I don't think she liked it at first. And my mom was like, you're going to be the knee baby now. So you better believe she took full advantage of that as she was trying to get up on my mom's knees the whole time. She was trying to climb up on my mother while the baby was in my mom's arms, because she was the knee baby. So you would see her all the time, her hand on my mom's knee. Isn't that a beautiful thing to see? And the baby is in my mother's arms. So my baby sister, her name is Virginia, she came, she was such a bundle of joy, and she still is today. Hi, Jen. And she was so beautiful, so soft, so comfortable. And I would always say that to her, you are so soft and comfortable. She had the most softest blanket I had ever touched. Because my younger sister, Crystal, that's the knee baby, I don't remember her as a baby because I was really little too. Okay? So, but Virginia, we call her Jen for short, her blankets were so soft. And I remember my mother giving us instructions about how, now you're the big sisters, you got to watch out for the baby. And we were all ears and eyes on the baby. Don't touch the baby. You catch the baby's head. You know, we were little ourselves, but we didn't mind telling everybody else how to hold the baby. And my mother would be so gentle. Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. That is my mother is just such a wonderful woman of God. First Lady Evangeline Davis in Norfolk, Virginia. And she pastors alongside my dad, Bishop Moses L. Davis Sr., Christ Pentecostal Church, just kind of doing a little house cleaning right there. But, you know, I just love my parents and my siblings. And, you know, and you will get to know the rest of them as we go along in our broadcast. So we have Jen, the baby, myself, and Crystal, the knee baby, and Crystal and I, we're on the couch because we're getting ready to have our turn at holding the baby. Oh, that was such a just a wonderful moment in our lives. We were scared, nervous, everything. And we felt like it was our responsibility for this child to take care of the baby. Do we still feel the responsibility to take care of the babes in the kingdom of God? Well, that's a question to us today. Do we still walk in that accountability, that passion and love for the babes in the Lord, the babies that are just now coming into the fellowship of Christ's blood, his death, burial, resurrection, the salvation that belongs to us all, that he died for us to save the sins of the world? Are we yet taking our time to hold the baby just right? Will we sit down and receive instruction from our mothers, our fathers in the gospel, how to hold the baby? There's a certain way. We have to watch their head. See, now the Lord is getting ready to move us into the prophetic of this session today. And I hear that call really loudly to stay right here. How are we holding their head? Are we allowing everybody to hold the baby? Are we not being watchful? The tilt of the head, what they're listening to, how they're leaning to things. We need to watch that. We need to watch how we're holding the babes of the Lord. Those that are just coming into his knowledge, his understanding. Understanding salvation and God's word. There's a certain way to hold them. Yes, there is. And we must hold them with tender love and care. Be so gentle. Because why? They've gone through a lot. They've gone through a lot. And now they walk in to the house of prayer, and they need to be held. So let's sit back and allow the mothers and fathers of the gospel to teach us just how to hold the baby. I pray that bless someone right there. It blessed me. I didn't have that written down. That was just right there, rhema, revelation of our lives and probably what's happening right now among us. But let's go right back to Miriam and Pharaoh's daughter. Another part of destiny awaits us today. Let's go right on. Let's look at verse 5. Exodus chapter 2, verse 5. Oh, I just love the sound of rain. It is raining here in Alabama and maybe in your area as well. And it sounds so beautiful. Okay, let's see. Verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Okay, let's look at that. Here's destiny again. Destiny makes a sound. And that sound causes Pharaoh's daughter to have compassion. When was the last time we heard a baby cry and we were not moved with compassion? Oh, yes. We went, "Oh, what's wrong with the baby?" It could be someone's baby at a doctor's office crying. We're going to turn and look to see if that child is okay. If the baby's okay, we might look to see what the mom is doing. Then she goes and she gets the bottle. She goes and reaches in her bag and she gets the bottle out, or she gets a pacifier, or she gets a rattle. Or we watch everything and then we see if it's going to help, if it's going to work. And next thing you know, the baby is soothed and the baby is quiet again. But it draws our attention. It's something deep within us that causes us to look to see, is that baby okay? So she was, Pharaoh's daughter was sent there by God. Let's not think, oh, she was just there, she needed a bath. No, it was her destiny. Okay, let's not look at just, okay, I can understand Moses having a destiny. I can understand Miriam having a destiny. But, oh, don't try to say Pharaoh's daughter had a destiny. Yes, she did. It was destined for her to go clean herself at the river and see the baby Moses. She was destined to be there. God ordained it, and he sent her there. She was destined for greatness. Just like Miriam was destined for greatness, Moses was destined for greatness, Moses' parents were destined for greatness, the children of Israel were destined for greatness, and we are destined for greatness today. It's our process of destiny. Destiny is born. Destiny makes a sound. Destiny walks. Destiny moves. Destiny is in full manifestation of God's glory, his purpose of why we're destined. So, yes, Pharaoh's daughter had a destiny, and her destiny was right on time. She needed to be there right then, and Miriam needed to see what was going to become of her brother. Now I know, oh, she's looking at him. Now let's look at how Pharaoh's daughter risked her life to pick up this baby that was a Hebrew child. She risked her life. She didn't think about that she was Pharaoh's daughter. She looked at, I have to have this child. I have to help this child. Let's read on. Verse 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. Uh-huh. Isn't that wonderful? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. Well, bless the name of the Lord. Now, let's look at this now. There's Miriam playing peekaboo with her brother. Right on time, here comes Pharaoh's daughter. And soon as she says, listen to this now. As soon as Pharaoh's daughter says, this is a Hebrew child. Soon as she said that, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Miriam said, time for destiny. I got to fulfill my call now. Let me go and say something. So she told her, shall I go and call the nurse of the Hebrew women? Not telling her who she was. Sometimes we can tell too much. She didn't say, hey, that's my brother. And my name is Miriam. And you know what? My mama can nurse them. No. She just said, should I call one of them and go and fetch a Hebrew woman to nurse him? So of course she went and got her mother. Look at the three women of destiny here. We have Jochebed, Moses and Aaron's mother, and Miriam's mother. We have Miriam, destiny. We have Moses. We have Pharaoh's daughter, destiny. These three great women had a day that they met destiny at the same time. So Moses' mother comes back. Not only does she get her son returned to her. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Ah, glory to God. She not only gets her son back. She trusted God. And in order for us to let anything go, we have to trust God that he knows what he's doing. Just like he knew about Abraham and Isaac. He knew it then. He knew exactly what he was going to do. But sometimes we got to give up things for destiny's sake. Hallelujah to God. So here we have Moses, Miriam, Pharaoh's daughter, discussing Moses. Jochebed, Moses' mother. We have Moses' sister, Miriam, and we have Pharaoh's daughter standing there discussing Moses. Not only does Jochebed receive her son back, but Pharaoh's daughter gives her wages for her service. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. She gave her wages for nursing him. And she nursed him until he was of age that he could go to her and be raised by her. Praise the name of the Lord. So she was able to have her son to train him. And for his father and the elders and the people of God to train him in the ways of the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the ways of God was in Moses from birth. Oh, glory to God. So later on, at the appointed time, he remembered. Oh, glory to God. I just bless the Lord today for his word. And I thank God for his favor among many. I just want to encourage you today to play peekaboo again. Play peekaboo with destiny. Let destiny know you see destiny. You're willing to wait on destiny to make a sound. You're willing to wait on destiny to walk, to talk, to speak to you, and to walk into full manifestation of God's divine purpose. I pray that you've been blessed today. I pray that your barns are filled with plenty and that the Lord prospers you in every way in your life. I release this blessing of the lesson of before the Lord, to bless it and to multiply it and to replenish each of us today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray that right now I'm just going to pray our closing prayer for our broadcast on today. But like I said before, you can find us on Facebook. On my profile page is Angela A. Davis Billings, Prophet to the Nation. Angela A. Davis Billings. Or you can find me at my ministry page, which is Prophetess Angela A. Billings on Facebook. Or you can find me on our group page, and that is Women of Royal Destiny International. You can contact me at 334-524-3820 for any appointments, workshops, what have you. And we also have a website, and that is www.wordinternational.weebly.com, where you can find us on Twitter at Wake Up to Royalty. Wake Up, the numeral 2, Royalty. And that's at Twitter. Well, I pray that you've been blessed today. Father, we just thank you for today's broadcast. And we pray over everyone that is listening in today, that will listen in, and we release that unto you, O God, as we continue to walk in your word, not to be just hearers only, but to be doers also. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God bless you. Bye-bye. Into our